The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Oops. Excuse me, sorry about that. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it, and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or that town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly, I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. So that story that we just read tells about what we might call the first Christian missionary trip. Jesus is sending out his 12 disciples, that little circle of men who traveled with him, who studied at his feet, who ate and talked and ministered by his side. Matthew, the author of the gospel, was one of them, and he lists all the rest: Peter and Andrew and James and John, Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and the other James, whose father was Alphaeus, and Thaddeus and Simon the Cananean, to distinguish him from Simon Peter, and of course Judas Iscariot. And those men we often speak of as the 12 apostles. And the reason we call them apostles is at least in part because of this passage we just read where Jesus first sends them out, because apostle literally means one who is sent out. But the 12 apostles are not unique in the Bible for being sent out. God has a long tradition of sending people out in his ongoing history with his people. When Israel was enslaved in Egypt, long ago, God sent out Moses to go to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to demand freedom for his people. "Come," God said to Moses, "I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt." And then 4 centuries later, when the nation of Israel had fallen into sin and idolatry, there was a man named Isaiah who saw a vision of God in his heavenly temple. And in the vision, God called out for someone to go and bring his word to his people. "Who can I send?" God said. "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah spoke up the very words we sang this morning. "Here I am," he said. "Send me." Later still, when Judah had fallen away from God and was about to be destroyed and carried off by the Babylonians, God sent out a young man, Jeremiah. He said to Jeremiah, "Don't tell me I'm only a boy, for you will go to all to whom I send you, and you will speak whatever I command you. I've put my words in your mouth." The greatest one ever to be sent out, of course, was Jesus, as John tells us in that best-known verse of the whole Bible. "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." After his resurrection, Jesus came to his disciples, who were gathered in the upper room, all fearful and sorrowful and confused, and he appeared among them, and he breathed the breath of his Spirit on them, and he said, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, so now I am sending you." Again and again, God sends his people out. He sent his prophets. He sent his own Son. He sent his apostles. And in the days after Jesus' ascension, he sent men and women to carry the good news to every part of the known world. Paul and Barnabas, Priscilla and Aquila, Silas and Timothy. And God doesn't change. He hasn't stopped. God continues to send out his people down through the centuries, right down to our own time and place. Sending people out is a thing that God has done, and it's a thing that God continues to do. So, as we read this passage today where Jesus first sends out his 12 apostles, I wanted to focus on what it means to be sent out by God. The first thing about being sent out is that a person is always sent out from someplace. Being sent out implies that there's a home base. It means that the person being sent has a place of belonging to be sent out from. At my house, we have a desk, a rather messy desk, where we keep our bills and our envelopes and our stamps, all our correspondence stuff. And in the desk, we have a tin where we keep all our return address labels. We seem to have thousands of them from the Cancer Society and the Heart Association and Habitat for Humanity. And they're all different, but every single label has the same address on it. They all bear our home address because everything we send out, whether it's a bill or a letter or a birthday card, they're all sent from our home. They're sent out from us. In the same way, whenever God sends a person out, first he calls him to himself. When God called Moses from the burning bush, he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." You remember that Moses had been raised as a foundling in the palace of Pharaoh, but God reminded Moses where he'd really come from, who he really was. He reminded him that he belonged to his chosen people. So first he gave Moses a home address, and then he sent him out. So when Jesus sends his apostles out here, he sends them out as his men, his chosen band, his apprentices. They belong to Jesus. He was their teacher and their master. Jesus and his followers had no physical place to lay their head. That is true, but they belonged with Jesus. Jesus was their home address, and they didn't need anything more than that. The second thing about being sent out by God is that he always sends people with a specific mission. He gives them a message. He puts his own word on their tongues. When God called Moses, Moses carried God's demand to Pharaoh to set his people free. To Isaiah and Jeremiah, God gave a message of judgment, an indictment of sin and rebellion to carry to the people of Israel and Judah. So here, when Jesus sends his apostles out to the towns and the villages of Judah and Galilee, he gave them a message, the good news, the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then he gave them some kind of crazy instructions. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Because clearly, being God's messenger isn't just a matter of being a divine mailman. To bear God's message means you bear his power. To be sent out is to be empowered. Whatever God sends his apostles out to do, he also empowers them to do it. In fact, he empowers them to do exactly the kinds of works he had been doing, proclaiming the good news that the kingdom was dawning, healing diseases of every kind, commanding demons, raising the dead. Being God's message bearer also means being the bearer of God's power to do all that a person is sent to do. All through the Bible, God sends people out on every different kind of mission. He sends them out to build boats. He sends them out to oppose mighty kings. He sends them out to be walking parables. He sends them out to issue ultimatums. But whatever it is that God calls his people to do, he empowers them to carry it out. When Jesus told his 12 friends to go out without a purse or without an extra pair of sandals and to do all those miraculous works they had seen him do, we have no way of knowing how crazy that sounded to them. Go raise the dead? Go cast out demons? Sure. But the thing is, they were able to do it because when God sends his people out, he gives them the power to do anything and everything that they're called to do. And the third thing that we see in this story about what it means to be sent by God, and of course there are infinitely many things that we could learn from this story, but the third thing I want to draw out today is that when God sends out his people, he sends them to someone. Seems pretty obvious point, but it's really of great importance. In sending people out, God makes a connection between them and the person or persons that they're sent to. And even more important, he entrusts the person who is sent with a responsibility toward the person they're sent to. The 12 apostles carried a word of good news from Jesus, and they were empowered to do everything that he had called them to do, but they were given that word and that power specifically for the people that Jesus called the lost sheep of the house of Israel. To use the metaphor of mail again, the mission of the apostles was like a private letter bearing the address of their fellow Israelites, just like Moses' mission was a letter addressed to Pharaoh. In a very real sense, being sent by God makes us servants of the people to whom we are sent out. There were no guarantees that they would be listened to or welcomed. There weren't even any guarantees that they would be safe. In fact, Jesus told his disciples that some would refuse to listen to them. He told them they would certainly be betrayed, they would be arrested, they would be beaten. But they had a responsibility to deliver the message of Jesus to every lost sheep who was willing to listen. The reason that it's so important for us to understand what it means when God sends out his prophets and his apostles and his disciples and his missionaries, the reason that matters so much to us here today is that God also sends us out. When Jesus appeared to his disciples after he came forth from the tomb, he breathed on them and said, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." That was true for his disciples, who were sent to bring the good news of the kingdom to the four corners of the Roman Empire. But it's also true for us. God sends me out. God sends you out. And that means, remember, first and foremost, that he calls you to himself. God is love, John wrote, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. The love of God is our home address. He's our place of belonging. When he sends you out from himself. When he sends you out, he gives you a mission. He gives you a message. I think sometimes we get the impression that a good Christian is like somebody that's hired to walk up and down the sidewalk all day wearing a sandwich board that says, "Jesus is Lord," or "Repent and be saved." But the truth is, just like the prophets, just like the apostles, God sends us out with particular messages. And he sends us to particular people. He might send you to somebody you haven't talked to in years. He might send you out to cry for justice from those in authority. He might send you out to make a complete fool of yourself, a fool for Christ. It happens. The mission and the message belong to God. They're his, and you will hear him if you're listening. His mission might be very costly in any number of ways. It might seem impossible. He might not send you out to raise the dead or to cast out demons, but he might. But you can be sure of one thing. When God gives you his mission and his message, he will empower you to accomplish everything he asks you to do. The other side of this, of course, is to be aware of how many times God sends people to you. How many times you're the one to receive his message through the faithfulness of one of his apostles, who might be a friend or a neighbor or a complete stranger. How many times have you received the love of God in the words or the actions of another person? As the Father sent his Son, so the Son now sends all of us. We just have to listen. Amen. Let us proclaim our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed is found on page 358. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.